Thank you very much, Lucas. Thank you for the floor. And I'd like to ask, I imagine that there are no French, not every one of you speaks French or understands French, is it right? Okay, so I'll continue in English as was prepared. And so I'd like to start by saying that you have certainly guessed from the previous presentations how rich and how diverse the problems are. And I'd like, in fact, to try to see, to verify with you, if it's possible from this heterogeneity, from this variety, to extract some philosophy of the system, especially in the case of the EU, because the EU is a legal order that aims at having such a coherence or of reglementation. So let's see if there is a philosophy that is within, that can be extracted from the system. So we will go through a few issues. So I will try to see if there are some specific strategies in the idea that of interim justice of the European Union. The first thing that is striking, I think, is the richness of rules. So I have this first set of rules that you see in the slide are the article dealing with interim measures, in particular regarding allocation of jurisdiction for interim measures in the European instrument. So it's quite striking the number of rules that have been elaborated in this respect. And of course, even at the beginning of the European reglementation, there were authors speaking about an inflation of laws. Between brackets, you see the instruments that are no longer in force or that have been substituted by other instruments. But these instruments, they all these rules that are mentioned here, they are all dealing with allocation of jurisdiction. So this is which judge can pronounce interim measures apart, as we have seen, apart from the judge who has jurisdiction as to the substance. Because of course, as we have said, in plus sat minus, so if I am able to grant a remedy based on the substance, then of course I can grant interim measures. This is the first set of rules, but now, since 2004 at least, the European Union complements these rules on allocation of jurisdiction with rules that aim at granting European Union interim measures. And the first idea came with the IP directive. In the IP directive, Article 6 and Article 7, the European legislature has encouraged member states to elaborate rules, national rules, that would grant a sort of worldwide disclosure order, obliging them to have issue legislation on this type of measures. And then, more specifically, as it was mentioned today, the European Account Preservation Order, La Saisie Européenne des Comptes Bancaires. So this is a regulation from 2014, which contains a very detailed reglementation of a specific European instruments that will be alternative to instruments existing in national laws. So one of the strategies is the well-known double-track system. It was mentioned today by my colleagues before. So it means that two judges are in principle available for granting interim measures. Of course, the court having jurisdiction as the substance, but also the court of any place where a provisional measure may or needs to be enforced. We have seen also with the question that urgency may request this solution. And these measures are mainly national measures that are issued within the territory where the measure has to be enforced. The same is not true for the European Account Preservation Order, because this measure can only and may only be issued by the court having jurisdiction as to the substance. How can we shape a notion of provisional protective measures from all these rules that we have seen, and also from the decisions of the European Court of Justice? So we noticed some trends. I'd like to speak about trends rather than a principle, or because it's very difficult. We have seen it even yesterday in a presentation in the Journée Doctorale that was held here yesterday. It's very difficult to extract from the attendu, from the decision of the European Court of Justice, a particular methodology that she uses, that the court uses, in order to elaborate, shape notions, European notions. But we notice some trends. So one trend is that, of course, the European Court of Justice takes advantage of the common Roman roots of the legal tradition of the national system. And so it's possible then to refer to the traditional condition characteristics of interim measures in Roman law, especially the fumus boni iuris, so the appearance that the person who's asking for the remedy has a right to enforce, that wants to be enforced, and the periculum in mora. So I insist on the periculum in mora because we have been talking about urgency before and there are some hesitations. But of course, I don't see any reason to grant a provisional measure if there is no danger in the wait. So in that case, let's see more deeply what is the issue. The other tendency is to copy-paste the Brussels I system rule. So when I talk about a Brussels I system rule, I mean the rule that was shaped before in the Brussels Convention of 68 and that has been repeated more or less in identical terms until the Article 35 of the Brussels 1bis regulation. Our institute, together with the University of Barcelona, is carrying out now a study on coherence and inconsistencies in the European Union regulation on private international law. And with Professor Guillaume, we have been going through the consistencies and inconsistencies of these rules of allocation of jurisdiction. And this tendency of copy-pasting is a good tendency in the sense that it can grant coherence in the regulamentation so in the end of the day, if we will ever have a European Code of Civil Procedure, we can use one and only rule. There is only one difference that was mentioned a little bit also before concerning Article 20 of the Brussels 2bis regulation, and it's a good exception because this article deals not only with patrimonial matters, but even with rights and restriction of freedom of movement of persons, and even vulnerable persons, children. So the rule is slightly different, but I will not go through this topic. So a future systematization of interim reliefs is favored by this tendency. And the other tendency is to codify what is called acquis communautaire, so to codify case law. So this, of course, has a great advantage. The great advantage is that at least we know that the practical implications of the rule, and we are attentive to the practice, but it also has a disadvantage. The disadvantage is that sometimes the drafting is weird, is fragmentary. For example, if we go through recital 25 of Brussels 1bis regulation, it says the notion of provisional, including protective measures, should include, for example, protective orders aimed at obtaining information or preserving evidence. So that's the only example that is made. And if one doesn't know Sample Diary's decision, you may wonder why is this example made and only this. So we have sometimes a fragmentary nature in the drafting. As regards to taxonomy, we will try to see if there is a taxonomy within the European Union interim measures concept. In provisional measures, we have in the national laws many different kinds of dichotomies. There are a few here. So in the doctrine tends to differentiate measures in rem from measures in personam, provisional measures, measures with anticipatory character than protective measures, measures granted ante causam, post causam, ex parte, audita et altera parte, measures having a open, wide content. In Italy, we have the famous Articolo 700 del Codice di Procedura Civile, through which the judge can order no matter what measures. Is there also the referee, but other measures have strictly typical effects. And among these, also measures for securing evidence. And then there is also a distinction according to the deepness of the analysis of the judge. Measures with substantial investigation, this is a German distinction, with substantial investigation on the merits and without investigation. Now, in respect to all these characterization, taxonomies, dichotomies, European Union Court, the Court of Justice of the European Union, is not intervening with her own ideas, and it is not especially. They really specify that they do not want to classify in advance national measures in order to see if a national measures can be or must be excluded, can be included or must be excluded from the European notion. Let's go through an example. So as regards to the court getting, this is a Dutch measure that went in front of the Court of Justice twice. So the court never says the Dutch court getting should be included or should be excluded from the European notion. So what they say it clearly, they say it is not possible to rule out in advance in a general and abstract manner that this measure is necessary to ensure the practical effect of the decision of on the substance, because that's what's interesting for them. So what is important in order to have an interim measure is that it has to be instrumental, as we will see. So this is the first acquis communautaire, the first element of the European notion, is that it has to be instrumental. So the temporary character, the precarious character, is response to this need that the measure is instrumental. To preserve, it was quoted before in French by Professor Romano, these measures are intended to preserve a factual or legal situation so as to safeguard rights, the recognition of which is sought elsewhere. So, and I like the simple definition by Kay, that provisional means preliminary to further proceedings for final judgment on substance. Another acquis communautaire, apart from instrumentality, is the so-called double condition test, which has been the object of the Mitz judgment, where the court examines, verifies if the effects of the provisional measures are reversible or not, because if they're not reversible, of course, the decision is not instrumental to another one. And this is also the reason why the Action Polien in the Reichardt and Kochler case was declared not to be a mesure provisoire, a provisional measure, because there is no reversibility of effects in that case. And the genuine territorial link. And what is this genuine territorial link? We have seen it. It's been codified in the recast. It means that the measure has to be enforced in the state in which it has been granted. As regards to ex parte measures, another teaching from the European Court of Justice is that these ex parte measures, as I think, as in Switzerland, they cannot be enforced abroad without being served, without prior service to the defendant. And this teaching of the European Court of Justice was codified in Article 42, in particular of Regulation Brussels 1bis, where the measure is ordered without the defendant being summoned to appear. Proof of service is necessary in order to enforce the measure. So this has been criticized, of course, but because there is no surprise effect possible. And ex parte measures, they aim precisely to have this surprise effect. And how do we... And this is also the reason why the European account preservation order complements the set of rules on allocation of jurisdiction by the Brussels 1 system and the other regulation on private international law. So the surprise effect may be granted by the taking a European account preservation order. What is this order? This is a union procedure. So it's stated clearly in the regulation that this is a procedure that is only available within the European Union. So they also, the cross-border requirements of the measures, they specify that only a creditor that is domiciled within the European Union can use this instrument, which is, as we said, alternative to the instrument that are available under national laws, and only it can be only directed, of course, to a bank which is also in a member state of the European Union. And when I say member state of the European Union, I say all member states except Denmark and the UK. I will isolate, identify these the following strategies that appear from both the evolution, the progressive evolution of the legislation of the European Union, and from the Court of Justice of the European Union. So as regards to allocation of jurisdiction, so as regards to the distribution among member states of jurisdiction on interim measures, the rule that has emerged and is there to stay, we find it also in national legislation, is this double track system rules, where the court having jurisdiction as the substance can issue all kind of provisional measures that are exportable in the whole European Union. They can be exported. Whereas the court having jurisdiction only for the provisional measure is the court where the measure has to be enforced. As regards to the shaping of a European notion of provisional and protective measures, the criteria that are being referred to are the main criterion is that of instrumentality. There has to be a relation with a procedure on the merits. In this respect, even the European Account Preservation Order maintains this relation, despite the fact that it can be issued also after the decision of the merits on the merits has been taken, but there has to be this link. Urgency is also controversial, but I think it's quintessential to the notion of provisional measure. I don't really see the need of a provisional protective measures without a condition of urgency. Also, the refusal of the European legislator, and especially the European Court of Justice, to subsume plainly, to classify according to their name, national measures in order to characterize them as corresponding to the European Union notion or not. So the same measure, for example, a measure for taking evidence, can be characterized a provisional measure for the purpose of Article 35 now of Brussels 1 bis, or not, depending on its real intrinsic characteristic in caso concreto, so instead of this plain subsumption, so it's no use sometimes to classify all these measures by name and try to see how much that they correspond to the European notion. And because the European notion has our own elements, and then it's more the more recent trend to elaborate single substantial European Union instruments in order to complement the national ones. And also, this complementarity is all the more important that, as we have seen with the European Account Preservation Order, it's the only way to have a surprise effect, to benefit from a surprise effect, because all the guarantees requested by the instrument are respected. So I thank you for your attention, and of course I welcome all questions.